Today we have a special guest speaker. I really appreciate Thomas, Pastor Thomas Chen. Quick story about Thomas. I actually didn't know him too well, but we have friends down in the Bay Area, and every time I go down there, and we're talking around and just hanging out, and he says, "Oh, you're from Seattle. Do you know a Pastor Thomas Chen?" I said, "Well, yeah, he just came up. Him and his family moved up from the Bay Area, and he's actually very famous in the Bay Area area. So I feel like we're blessed to have you up here. So it's really, really awesome. Everyone in the Bay Area knows him, okay? Whether they know him well or not, I didn't get around to hear the whole story, but I'm so glad that he's here. He comes up here with his family. He serves with JEMS, which is Japanese Evangelical Missionary Society, and he particularly oversees AACF, which is Asian American Christian Fellowship, at the University of Washington. Is that the only one? Okay, all right. So let's welcome him, Pastor Thomas.
Thanks, Pastor Tong. Oh, yeah, thank you. I will. All right, good morning. Good morning. It's been a while since I've been here. Trying to remember the last time I was here. Do you guys remember when Jeff and Jasmine got married? Are they here, or is he here? Well, that was the last time I was here. Hey, what's up? How did the improv night go? Good. Awesome, good to see you. Well, that was the last time I was here. And it's good to be back here. And for those of you who, I was actually at the retreat as well for the youth. So those of you who are youth here, are there youth here or is that a separate thing? Hey, what's up? Yeah, see? Yeah, saw you last time. I was at the retreat, so I got to join your retreat. That was a lot of fun. My kids went along as well, and that was a good time. So thanks for that. Anyway, good to be back. So thank you for having me here again. It's been good. I think the last time I was here, I was sharing the story about how we just got up here not too long ago and just adjusting to life here. And it's been good. I mean, God is always good. And in our lives especially, we're just seeing God's faithfulness in providing for us and giving us just people in our lives that have supported us and just really loved on us. Not only people back at home in Bay Area, but also people here, right? We feel at home here, and anywhere I go, and that's the good news, that's the truth, is that any church, really, that we go to, we're a part of it. I mean, there might be membership and all that stuff, but when it comes to the body of Christ, we're all brothers and sisters, assuming we have the same Lord Jesus. We're brothers and sisters, and so no matter where I go, as I'm sitting here, and I don't know a lot of you that well, but your family, you know, and because your family, we worship the same God and the same Father, and it's such a great thing. Like, no matter where we go in this world, really, like, we're at home, and we have a community, and, you know, people ask us all the time, it's like, you have family here? Is that why you move here? You have family and community? And we're like, no, you know, we just kind of came up here. All our family's down the Bay Area. We're just crazy like that, or we have a crazy awesome God, that's why. But we feel at home here, and we feel like there's just people all around us that God has provided. So we're thankful, we're glad, and I'm just very happy to be here. So thank you once again. Last week was Mother's Day, is that correct? Felt like a long time ago. So last week was Mother's Day, and the thing about being married to a wife who has, this sounds weird, who has our kids. Okay, married to someone who we share the same kids. The thing about Mother's Day is that I got to think more than just my mom for Mother's Day. I got to think about my wife now, right? And so in the midst of just thinking about Mother's Day for my wife, Esther, I think about, like, what should I get her? You know, like, I got to get her a good gift, and it's something that she will be able to enjoy. I kind of forgot about my own mom. Yeah, I know. And so I think through the week, maybe midweek, I was like, oh, yes, that's right, my mom is my mom. And Mother's Day is about her, but it's okay. Don't worry. I remembered before Mother's Day, and I made sure I got her something. But for my wife, I was just trying to think about what to get her, and I'm not very good at getting gifts for people because I don't know. Maybe I'm very practical. I want to get something that someone's going to use, you know. And I don't want to waste time getting something or waste money getting something for someone that they're not going to use or they're. You know, there's always a step of faith in getting someone something because you don't know if they're going to use it or not. And my wife made it especially easy for me this year midweek, while I was just kind of researching and thinking about what to get her, she just sent me a link and said, hey, get this for me. Get me this water flosser, like, you know, the water pick stuff, so from Amazon. So I got to do a little research and found the right one with the good reviews, all that, and I got her that. And throughout this whole week, she's used it. she's every night, and she's like, my teeth feel so clean, and I'm like, I'm so glad. Happy Mother's Day, you know? Like, this is so great, you know? You know, what do you want people to do when you get them something? Like, when you actually gift them something, you want them to use it, right? I mean, for me, I want them to enjoy it. I want to make sure that it's something that they would totally make use of, right? That it's relevant in their lives, and it's good. It's good for them. And that's kind of the picture of just what Paul's talking about in this passage that we're going to be looking at. He's talking to Timothy, and he's talking about the idea that you're gifted. He's saying, Timothy, you're gifted. It's already assumed, right? It's a given that you got a gift. And he wants them to understand, first of all, what this gift is, but also to use it, to make sure you use the gift that God's given you. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I understand you have a ministry fair afterwards. I don't know exactly what that's like, but I can guess by being in church settings before that it's opportunity for you to get involved to build up this body of Christ, right? And just to be able to see how God's gifted you, how you can serve in this body, and not something you have to do, something you get to do, right? Something we get to do to build the body. And so this is something that I want to come to you today and to encourage you, empower you with. I think it's a message then that would empower us so that we can understand, you know, I can take that step of faith to build up this body of Christ. I can take that step of faith to use these gifts because these are God-given, and I can definitely just use them for the glory of God and the building up of my brothers and sisters. Okay, let me just pray. Say a prayer for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you're giving to us today. I pray that you would speak to us, all of us here. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to empower us with your word. Thank you, God, for you are a good God, a good King, an awesome God that we serve. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Now, this is written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And the Apostle Paul, he's kind of in a dark time in his life. In fact, he's toward the end of his life. He's in prison. He's in a dungeon, actually, in Rome, awaiting his death sentence. All right. So you can imagine that. That's the context in which he writes this letter. And he writes to Timothy. And you can imagine, because it's the, you know, towards the end of his life, that he wants to pass on things to this disciple, right, to his mentee, Timothy, in order for Timothy to then pass it on to other people. And that's the context. That's the idea of why he's writing this. And throughout this book, you'll see that that's pretty much, there's a huge theme of passing it on. Okay. In fact, in the beginning, Paul would say, hey, Timothy, I'm so encouraged by you. In fact, I'm so encouraged by your faith that it was not just in you, but in your grandmother, Lois, that passed it on to your mother, Eunice, that passed it on to you, Timothy. And so this is what I like to pass on to you today, okay, is this message here. And so in verse 6, he says this. And he answers this question, basically, when you get a gift or you give someone a gift, what you want them to do with it. Here we go, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, these are the key verses that I want us to focus on today, so we're going to camp out in these verses a little bit more. He says here, Timothy, you got a gift, okay? You got a gift. He didn't even go through, you know, just kind of convincing Timothy, hey, trust me, you got a gift. You know, I got to convince you of that. It's already assumed. You got a gift. You're in Christ, you got a gift. And so he says, for this reason, and this refers to what he says previously, that is, for the reason that I have a heart for you, Timothy, I'm encouraged by your faith. And so for this reason, this is what I want you to do with this gift that has been given you by God. I want you to fan it. Fan it into flame. It's basically an imagery of a fire, right? Not too long ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, I took my son on a camping trip. I'm not much of a camping type of person, but once in a while I'll go maybe once a year with my college UCLA ACF buddies. We go once a year. But besides that, I don't really bring my family much because, I don't know, I don't want us to die, and it's just a lot of work, right? But I did bring my son for a camping trip, and it was kind of for the purpose of giving him the talk. But anyway, that's another story. So I took him camping, and we you know, it was getting to nighttime, and we had to start a fire. Now, that's something that I think it's useful, because I didn't exactly know the concept of starting a fire. In the past, I always thought you got the wood, right? And then you would just take a lighter and just kind of like stand it and light up the wood, and the wood would just, you know, spontaneously just, you know, fan to flame. But that doesn't happen. It just, you're just like, it doesn't work. And so, you know, you look online, and online has a lot of resources for you, and YouTube would teach you how to build a fire, do it yourself. And so we were there, and thank God that we had some internet access or Wi-Fi or something. Yeah, there's Wi-Fi at camping. It was glamping. It was very nice. And so we're there looking it up, and it's like, okay, yeah, there's certain steps. For those of you who know, you're like, yeah, duh, right? For those of you who don't, you're like, oh, yeah, really? Okay, well, here we go. So there's like, you know, wood and sticks that you get for the purpose of kindling, right? Kindling wood, okay? So that it would just kind of start, and then, I'll throw a bunch of newspapers, and then it'll eventually. Well, anyway, long story short, we started a fire, and I felt really good, okay? Yes, started a fire, and then my son saw it, and we were there, and we got to have the talk. Another story. But anyway, so there was a fire, and we felt so happy. It was so good. Why am I talking about this? Because this passage here. Fan into flame the gift of God. And it's that imagery where it's yeah, you know, you may think like the fire would just kind of start on its own. Yeah, no, the fire is a potential, right? It is there, but you got to kindle that thing. You got to grab those sticks. And my son was running around just gathering all these sticks, and he was running in there. And the idea that you fan it, right? And as you fan it, it just becomes bigger and bigger. You fan that into flame. And that's the imagery that Paul gives us here through his exhortation to Timothy about his gifts. He says, Timothy, I want you to fan that, right? Fan into flame the gift of God, right? Don't let it sit there. Don't let it just, you know, just be wood by itself. But fan it. Let it come alive, right? Let the fire start and spread. Fan that to flame. He says, fan to flame the gift of God, which is given you through the laying of my hands, right? He's referring to a time when Timothy, his gifts were officially recognized, right? People support him in that, right? It's affirmed in him that he has his gift. So look, fan that to flame. We affirm that in you, all right? And this is God's word for us today, okay? It's not just for Timothy. I mean, the word of God, right? I mean, we read it, definitely there's a context. Paul's talking to Timothy, but it's the word of God here in the New Testament for us today. This is a word for you. If Paul was here, he would be saying the same thing to me. He would be saying the same thing to you. He'd say, look, you got a gift from God, fan that into flame. The word gift is the word charisma, okay, in the original language. Charisma. Charisma in the beginning is charis, right? It means grace. And what a lovely picture, right? It's a gift given to us, undeserved. I don't earn it. Okay, I don't deserve it, but yet it was given to me. And if that's the mindset of the, you know, that I have with the gift that God has given to me, then the idea is, this is not mine. As in, well, it's mine, it's given to me, but I didn't, you know, I didn't bring this about, right? It was not of my doing. And I think a lot of times, maybe we, especially as those of us who are Asian, a lot of us here, right, we're very humble, you know, we're very like, oh, no, I'm not that good. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, and when it comes to how you're gifted in Christ, we tend to be like, nah, yeah, right? We're just like, no, that's not me, you know, I'm not that good. But the thing is, when you understand, well, it's true, that is not you. It is the Spirit gifting you, and so he has given that to you. And so there's a sense that, well, if the Spirit has given me this gift, I can recognize that this comes from God. And if people are saying and acknowledge that in me, I say, yes, I see that too, right? And I see that God's given me this gift, and I want to fan that. I don't want to hide it. This is a gift from God, right? And this is my exhortation to us, right? When you come to know Christ, what happens? You guys know what happens? You're given the Spirit of God. That's one, right? You're given the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes into your life and dwells in you, right? If you know Jesus, you have the Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you. Okay, that's one. Not only that, but the Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. That's another truth I believe, is that when you're in Christ, you're given a spiritual gift, or more than one. You're given at least one spiritual gift. Now, you may not know exactly what that is, especially when I was younger. It's like, I don't know. I always felt like I wasn't good at anything. But as I got older and been more into, you know, just living out faith and ministry, then you start discovering, wow, God has gifted me in this way. And once again, no shame in that, because God has gifted me. It's from Him. Glory goes to Him. He's the one that's gifted me in that. So that's something I want you to understand, and I want all of you to feel empowered in that. It's that there's no hiding that fact, right? There's no hiding that truth. You're in Christ. You're given the Spirit. The Spirit of God's in you. And this Spirit gives you a spiritual gift, wherever that may be. And you could look up different passages. You could Google a spiritual gift Bible, right? And it'll tell you, you know, certain passages like Romans 12, right? Like 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. There's some other passages. But I'll go ahead and list them, okay? Exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching, administration, apostleship, discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, evangelism, pastor, hospitality, okay? And there's probably more. Now, I'm not going to go through every single one of them. I think you could break that down and have a sermon every week on every one, okay? But really, I just want to let you know that there's a lot of spiritual gifts, and there's a lot of you, and I think and I believe that God's gifted you somehow with either a or many spiritual gifts, okay? And for some of you, I hope you already know what that is. Basically, I hope you either know what it is already, or you are on the way to discovering what that is, okay? I mean, it's kind of like this. Let's imagine Iman, right? Iman? Iman, am I right? Iman. What do I think, Iman? Anyway, he didn't hear that. Iman, come up here. Yeah, okay. Since it's just easier, you're in the front. That's what happens. You're on the worship team. You're in front. You guys come up here again. All right, I'm going to give you a gift, okay? Since I got your name wrong, so I felt like I owe you. So here we go. Here's a gift. Okay, imagine I give Iman a gift, okay? And he just kind of looks at it. All right, has no idea what that is. But I'll tell you something about that, okay? This is a very, very, don't look, no, it's nothing. Okay. It's a very powerful gift, okay? This thing, you got to use it. And the thing is, you gotta. Well, first of all, find out what it is. But let me tell you, it's gonna be used to build up people in your church. Okay, it's gonna be used to encourage people. And for those who you know are all around here that you see, man, they're gonna be built up, and encouraged, right? And not only that, because they're gonna be encouraged and ministered to, they're gonna go and minister to other people to the point where it's gonna make everlasting, eternal impact. Okay, with that gift that you have. But the thing is, you gotta open and you gotta use it. Okay. Now, let's say I just told him that, which I just did, okay? But, Iman, you know, it's like, sounds good. Yeah, why don't you just lip sync what I said? Sounds good, that's awesome. Okay, you use your hands. I like acting, so I'm going to make him act. Sounds good, awesome, Thomas. Yeah, but you know what? I'm just going to toss this gift to the side here. Okay. And I'm just going to go sit down now. All right, let's give him a hand. I didn't want him here too long. So imagine he continues to talk about this. He's like, you know what? That's great. Now, I'm glad you kind of encouraged me in that, but I'll use it one day. I mean, it's still sitting there. Don't worry. I know where it is. But this week, I'm a little busy. You know, I'm kind of busy. I'm busy worship leading. I'm busy with my job. I'm busy with friends and families and work and all the stuff that I got to do. A lot of responsibilities in this world, right? And so I'll get to it. Or one day I'll get to it. Now, what good is it if this gift is just sitting there, right? If you don't even know what that is, right? He didn't even open it. Do you know what that is? See, he doesn't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. Exactly. You don't know what it is until you open it and discover for yourself what it is. But the idea and the truth is, if you've been given a gift, and you think about this, if you've been given a gift, and the Bible's very clear that this gift is given to you to the buildup of the church, to build up brothers and sisters for that purpose. In other words, it is you have something that will benefit other people for eternity, right? Wow. for me to be like, I don't even care what it is, or I don't know what it is, and I'll figure it out. I'm too busy with my life. It's like, you got a gift sitting right there, right? That's waiting to be opened, waiting to be discovered, waiting to be used, waiting to be developed, waiting to be fanned into flame. And that's the picture. I exhort us to be bold with it. Open that up. What is this? What is it? It was a gift card holder with no gift card. But that's what that is. But if you're given a gift, which you are, and if you really believe that, you open that up. Like, what is it? How has God gifted me? Because whatever I have is to build up this church. And so if I'm not discovering that or using that, it's a little selfish of me, right? It's kind of like, I'm not going to use it. And so I really want to exhort us to that. There's no need to be shameful about that because it's given by God, right? It's a spiritual gift from God. And this is something I personally had to learn through my life. Because, yes, I grew up Asian, and I grew up very much like, you don't boast about yourself at all, you know, definitely not. And not only that, but in the Christian context, I grew up with the idea of denying yourself, which I totally believe is biblical, but what does that mean, right? I thought it meant deny my personality, deny the way God's gifted me, right? Deny the way I am, because it's all about God and not about me. And so if it's all about God, then God doesn't care my personality. God doesn't care what's in my heart, what I'm excited about, right? God just cares that he's getting all the glory and that I'm just, you know, being used by him in whatever way or form, even if I hate it, right? Even I don't enjoy it. And there's some truth to that there's moments and places where I don't enjoy, but God says, pull through, you got this, right? I got your back. But I really believe as time went on in my life that really God wants to honor the way that he's gifted us. He really wants to honor your personality, whatever it be, introvert, extrovert, however you want to label it. God wants to honor your specific, unique talents and abilities and all the ways that the way you are, the experiences that you have. I mean, you know, we probably learned this back in the day, you know, you're unique. It's true, right? You're unique. Like your situation, your gifts, talents, abilities, experience, all together is you. That's different from me. It's different from anybody else. So how can I allow God then to leverage all that for his kingdom in a unique way that nobody else can do, right? And there's so many of you here. That's why I'm so excited to see, well, if God's gifted you, what is he going to do with that? And what has he already done with that, right? So amazing. Now, for me, there's practical tests online, right? Online, there's these spiritual gifts tests you could just go on. And take it with a grain of salt, as in it's not 100%, but a lot of times it's very helpful because you take more than a few, you're like, oh, maybe this is onto something. And for me, that kind of has helped to some degree for me growing up and stuff. And so I started realizing that there's certain gifts in my life that I knew has to come from God. It has to, because it doesn't make sense for me to have it, okay? One thing that I've discovered recently, maybe in the last 5-10 years, is the gift of hospitality, all right? Being hospitable, welcoming people, having people all over. It doesn't make sense for me to have that. Why? Because I grew up with my parents not necessarily being very hospitable. We didn't have people all over all the time. We were always going over somewhere else, right? And we were just not hospitable. So it made no sense that I would I would naturally have that. But that's something I realized, oh, God's gifted me in that. And that's interesting. Well, what am I going to do? Just deny and say, no, that's not me then. Or maybe there's something there. And as, God's given me, this marriage with my wife, who is also very hospitable, I mean, we found joy in hosting people. I mean, you know, right, Michelle? You and the rest of the core group in ACF, they come over every week for core meetings. We cook them breakfast. We treat you. We spoil you guys. But we love it. We love it. We love pouring our hearts out in our home to people. You know, it's a spiritual gift. I don't deny that. I'm going to use it. I'm going to leverage that for his kingdom and build you guys up. Fan into flame the gift of God. Why? Look at the verse, next verse. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Right? What spirit does he give us? Remember I said when you become a Christian, you have the spirit of God. What kind of spirit is this? And what kind of spirit is God all about? Right? He says, Timothy, well, you might be timid. That might be his personality, like his natural personality. But he says, look, but the Spirit of God that he gives you is not of timidity. It is of power, love, and self-discipline. Okay, the word timidity is the word cowardice, kind of sense of spirit of just trying to hide and being a coward. The word power is the word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite, right? That much power, spirit of power. Okay, self-discipline means wisdom, sound mind, sober-mindedness. That's the type of spirit that he gives us, right? It's not the spirit he gives us when we're just wild and crazy and we don't know what to do and we're just like, we're out of control. You know, there's a soundness to it, a sober-mindedness. Now, I really appreciate what my wife said a while ago. She was sharing with our church that I was pastoring at the last time, and she was sharing with them, like, you know, without the gospel, okay, so the thing is, give you context, so she's more of an introvert, but you wouldn't think that, right? And she told her church, just like, the reason why she really engages people and she doesn't seem like an introvert is because really when it comes down to it, it's because of the gospel, right? Without the gospel, why would you engage people, right? And for her, she wouldn't care to, right? There's just so much energy, so much work to do so. And I would say the same thing for me. Even though I'm different, I'm very extroverted. I know you can't tell, I'm a little shy. But I, even as an extrovert, I get drained from people. I do, you know? And I don't even think I'm that extroverted. And the thing is, why then? Like, would we be around people all the time, want to engage people? Why do we want to live our lives out in like ministry to people? And really, when it comes down to it, it's the power of the Spirit. Really, it's the gospel. The gospel is so powerful, and the Spirit of God is so powerful, so real, so good, that I am so compelled. Like, you can't help but be compelled to want to share that with people and want to bring that to people in every engagement with people. You know, I can relate to Timothy. Yeah, I actually grew up very timid in some ways. You know, I never talked in class and all that. But God empowers us, right? Timothy, timid, but empowered and gifted with the Spirit and spiritual gifts. You know, when we moved up here, or before we moved up here, we were researching about Seattle, and then there's, you know, you search Seattle, the first thing that comes up, or one of the first things that comes up is the Seattle freeze, right? It's like, what the heck is that, right? What's this? And I looked at it, I was like, is it just because it's cold here? And like, it says it refers to a belief, right? You know, it's difficult for people to make friends. It's like people keep to themselves, all that stuff. Before we got here, and this is before, I've been here a little bit now, so I kind of learned what that kind of is, kind of. But before we got here, we're like, what in the world is that? Like, and why does Seattle get a freeze? Bay Area has a freeze. It's warmer, but people are like that too, you know? And so I think as we learn about Seattle and learn just the culture, I was like, interesting. But a lot of times, I feel like there might be a label, right? You put a label to something, and then you hide behind that label. Whatever it is, Seattle freeze, therefore, there's no point getting to know people, right? There's no point in getting to know people because there's a freeze anyway. It's frozen. We can't melt it. Or I'm introverted, so therefore I'm not going to be around people. I hate them. And it's okay, right? Or I'm extrovert, so I have to party all night and whatever. You know, we hide behind these labels and we're just like, you know, well, then that limits us. And we put ourselves in this box, in this category. But the thing is, I really want us to look beyond that. Right, I want us to look beyond that. As we were moving up here, I'm like, I'm not going to think about this Seattle freeze thing because it could very much be like, I don't want to move there because of that. But rather, I think the mentality we have was, you know what, if there's a freeze, whatever, I'm going to be the anti-freeze, right? Like, I'm going to melt it. I don't know what that means. But just like the idea that's not going to, you know, I'm not going to hide behind this label because you know what, there might be a label. There might be a certain personality, a certain way that you are and the way the culture is, the people around you are. But you know what, it says here, the Spirit of God that he gives you is a spirit not of timidity, not of cowardice, hiding behind all these labels and stereotypes or whatever it is, but a spirit of power, of love, sober-mindedness, self-discipline, right? This is the type of spirit that he gives us. So I want us to understand that's the spirit that we have. So the rest of the passage, I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I'm just going to read it. It says this. Verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It goes on, verse 11. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Whatever, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, you could definitely spend a lot of time studying that passage, but basically what I want us to get from the passage this morning is the idea that, you know, Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God, a spirit not of cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. You have the Spirit, spiritual gifts. You don't need to hide. You don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. Not only that, I don't know if you picked that up as I was reading it. He says, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because I'm convinced. I know for sure that this is the gospel that raised Jesus from the dead, gospel that is powerful. And if I am so convinced that the gospel is so true, then guess what? I am willing to suffer for that gospel. You will not suffer for what you're not convinced of, right? You just won't. Right, when it comes down to it, you're probably watching movies, maybe having certain experiences in your life, you get pushed back against the wall to the corner to the point where you're like, well, I'm not very convinced of this anyway, so yeah, I don't care, you know, or like, I'm going to get away from that. But if you get to the point where you're like, no, I am so sure, right? If, for those of you who have kids, right, and for those of you, I mean, you love someone, you know, someone who's attacked that person, I mean, you would die for that person. Why? Because you're convinced that you love this person and that it's this person's life is valuable. You will suffer for what you are convinced of. And Paul says, therefore, I am not ashamed. Therefore, Timothy, don't be ashamed, because you have this gospel that is sure, this gospel that I am so convinced of. And that's what maybe some of us need to go back to. Take a step back and go, how sure am I of this gospel? How convinced am I? How powerful do I believe this gospel is? Because like I said, going back to what I was saying, I truly believe that, you know, for us being compelled to move and do crazy things for Christ, right? Like, it's not because we're just crazy. It's because we're sure. We're sure of the one who's gonna take care of us, who's faithful, who knows what he's doing, and that it's an exciting thing, an exciting adventure to be part of what God is doing in this world. Right? It's so filling, so amazing. And he says, everything you heard from me, truth, the gospel, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Guard the good deposit, which is the sound teaching of the gospel, with the help of the Spirit in you. Right? Spirit's with you, okay? The Spirit's in you, the Spirit's with you. Now, with that said, okay, you're going to be going soon to this ministry fair, all right? Plugging that for you. As you go there, as you think and pray and just even consider about, like, how has God gifted me? And for those of you, you know. Some of you, you know already. It's like, this is how God's gifted me. Now, right now, today is just a way to fan that into flame even more. And for the rest of you who's like, I'm still trying to discover that gift and what it is, maybe just try a new thing. What's the worst that can happen, right? Okay, maybe I'm not gifted in that. Guess what? That's part of the discovery of what you're gifted in, is to discover what you're not, right? It's always a step of faith, and you fan that into flame, flex those spiritual gift muscles, right, and see what God does. You are gifted. That's the message I want to leave you guys with. You're gifted. You are. Why? You got the Spirit of God in you who gifts you, and that's the truth. That's the scriptures, right? So don't be ashamed for that, right? Be willing to suffer even for that, because you're convinced of the truth of that in your life, okay? God's given you his grace in Christ Jesus, who has destroyed both death and brought life. That's the God that we have. That's the God that we serve. And the Spirit of God that we have, we get to serve this great King, great Lord. Let me tell you, it's amazing. It's awesome, okay? Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for this message. God, not just for everyone here, but for me as well. Lord, how you've just been so patient with me in my life. And God, I know you're patient with all of us here. Some of us here may not even know how we're gifted, but Lord, we are. That's the truth. And so help each person here to understand and to celebrate and to be victorious in the way that you've gifted each one of them. And that this gift won't just sit there in the corner unwrapped, but really, God, that would be so excited, like a kid on Christmas Day. Just unwrapping this gift and saying, God, thank you. I can't believe you're so good. I can't believe that you would give me this gift to make a difference and make an impact in this church and in the body of Christ and in this world. So God, thank you. And I pray for this church. I thank you for SCAC and their welcome for me, my family. And thank you, Lord, for the ways that they've continued to do great things here in this community. I pray, Lord, that you would allow their gifts all together to be building up this body here as well as continue to reach the world for you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.